Okay, today we plan to go through 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 to 17. Confidence in prayer. Are you confident in your prayer life and in God as far as in the act of prayer, as far as your regular prayers? So we've been looking at assurance in 1 John, confidence before God in general. And now John applies this confidence to our prayer lives and the need, the opportunity, the offer to really walk in confidence regarding our prayer lives. So this book covers rich, rich themes, like loving one another, like being genuine, like saying no to sin and assurance and various things, walking righteously or with right standing. Today's passage zeroes in on assurance as it applies to our prayers, confidence in prayer. There are three stakes in the ground regarding prayer. So we look at it as stakes in the ground. You know how stakes are used, like for a tent to make it strong? Once the boys and I were camping, we went up to northern Wisconsin, and we were there for a family reunion. Gremlins actually originated from northern Wisconsin. There are gremlins everywhere up there. And if you meet a gremlin, by the way, they are related to me. There's no gremlins outside of our family. And so my dad had 10 brothers and sisters, and they all got married. They all had kids. And so there's lots of gremlins. There's lots of, you know, in-laws and outlaws as far as the different names involved, as far as the gals who also got married and had plenty of kids. So once the boys and I were camping, it was a family reunion time. So we were camping at a nearby campsite as we'd go to the family reunion during the day. And we forgot our tent stakes. We forgot the tent stakes. In fact, we forgot the whole framework, all the poles. Somehow we just didn't have them. And so we borrowed a rope for our tent, and we hung the tent up, and it looked sort of like Shantytown. It looked like this is the slums of the campground. But it's interesting, they gave us the campsite that was right as people come in. It was the first campsite. So they see us as far as they see Shantytown as they go in. And so it worked barely as we hung our tent up, and it had no framework, no strength at all. But we had a wonderful time still at the family reunion. So today, three stakes in the ground, providing strength regarding our prayer lives. So please stand. We're going to pray at this time, and we'll read through the whole passage. Father, I thank you for this passage we're about to read. Lord, teach us how to pray, and Lord, strengthen our prayer lives. I pray, Father, for you to remind us of truths regarding prayer. And Lord, we want to have open channels before you. So I pray, Father, that you'd take anything out of our lives that may be blocking our channels with you. And so I pray, Father, for just a wonderful time in your word, a refreshing time. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So in 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 to 17. Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we've asked of him. If anyone sees his brother sinning a sin which does not lead to death, he will ask, and God will give him life for those who commit sin not leading to death. There is sin leading to death. I do not say that he should pray about that. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is sin not leading to death. Please be seated. Very interesting passage, intriguing passage. So three stakes in the ground regarding prayer. Three stakes. One is confidence regarding God hearing. God hearing, verse 14. Now, this is the confidence we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. So we know that he hears us. So we can have confidence in regard to our faith in Christ. He hears the things we say. He hears the requests we have before him. He hears us when we cry out to him. We've talked before about our kids. They have various times when they've been sort of in a pickle of some kind. Luke is the one, our middle one, he's now 22. He's the one who had multiple, like, near-death experiences. Luke, when he was a little baby, and I've shared this before, but just bears repeating at this time, he was just a little guy. He was probably 1 year old. And he'd able to sort of crawl around and walk around, and but not very well, not very stable. Well, it turns out we were at a reunion of a church that had actually reached me a long, long time ago, and Sue was part of. That's where we met, as far as when she was doing special music, and I was there as a guest speaker. And we were hanging out in the backyard. It was an outdoor kind of event. And then all of a sudden, I saw Sue running. It was like, Sue, she's pretty buff, but she doesn't run a lot. She doesn't run usually, especially at parties. She doesn't like run. So she's running, and with great a sense of purpose. It's like, what's going on? And then I looked down, and there was a little, it's sort of like a big puddle. It was a little itsy-bitsy, shall we say, a pond. It was probably about a foot or two deep. Probably wasn't much, any deeper than that. And you could see in the water, there was some splashing going on. Well, it turns out Luke had been in there as a little baby, and he had lost his footing. And so he was actually drowning in like 1.5, 2 feet of water. And Sue saw it. She heard his cry. And she came running and grabbed him out. And then our little Lukey Bear, that's what we called him, Lukey Bear. And then he was okay. He was safe. You know, it's funny. All three of our kids, we wanted strong names like Seth, Luke, Peter, strong biblical names. And we didn't want them having names where they could easily be teased or whatever. And so here comes Luke, and we call him Luke, and turns out our little nickname is Lukey Bear. So thank God his friends never heard that. That would have been the end of it. So they were all little bears, so Sethy Bear, Lukey Bear. So anyway, so in the same way that Sue heard his cry, God hears our cries. He hears us. He hears the things we say. So note the condition here in verse 14. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. So if we're asking for something that's outside of his will, it's just not pleasing to him. It doesn't bring him glory. It's not his will for us. Then he doesn't hear us. He doesn't hear that. So our part is to ask according to his will. Not my will be done, but thy will be done. Jesus in the garden. So how do we know his will? Well, one way, or probably the number one way, is by reading and knowing the word of God. If we're wanting to pray for anything that's contrary to the will of God, then go no further. Don't waste God's time, and don't waste your time. So by reading and knowing the Word of God, by cultivating a sensitivity also to the Holy Spirit, as far as his prompting, sometimes he has us pray for someone or pray for a need we have or we may not even know we have, and to pray for something that we didn't even expect to pray for. But the Holy Spirit has a way of prompting us, stay away from this or do this and in a positive way or negative, or stay away from this. This is not good for you. If the Spirit's prompting us in a certain way, like, ooh, don't have any business dealings with that person. Or maybe no friendship as far as fostering a close friendship because maybe there's trouble behind the scenes as far as the attitude and the kinds of influences that person can have. So the Holy Spirit has a way of putting the brakes on something and also leading us to do something that may be radical or maybe out of our comfort zone. So we know his will by reading and knowing the Word of God, by cultivating a sensitivity regarding the Holy Spirit. Also by prayer in general, learning how to pray, being open before God, listening to him, taking time to say, Lord, speak to me. And he has a way, again, of sort of leading us. Now, we know it's his will. A number of things we know. It's a slam dunk as far as the will of God. A number of things. Not everything. In fact, there are many things that we don't really know for sure what the will of God is. But some things we know for sure. We know that it's his will that we grow in the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, etc., etc., from Galatians chapter 5. So we can pray with confidence, Lord, help me grow in love. Help me grow in love. That's not like a presumptuous prayer. That's a very much in line with his will. Help me to grow in love. Help me cultivate peace, a peace in my heart. I know it's your will that I learn peace. And maybe we're going through a time where it's like, oh, I just feel so anxious. It's like, Lord, help me cultivate peace in my heart. You know you're praying according to his will because it's the fruit of the Spirit. He wants to instill the fruit of the Spirit in us. Or help me walk in joy. I've been in Eeyore lately. And Lord, I know you want me to walk in joy because love, joy, peace, it's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit, have your way. Help me to experience you afresh and be full of joy over what you've done for me and what you continue to do. Or help me develop patience. Patience is perseverance, it's endurance. Help me develop patience. We know it's his will that we learn patience. How does he instill patience in us? Often by giving us disappointments in our lives and helping us to reach out to him, call out to him, and say, Lord, I need the patience that I just prayed for, and I need that in my life. Lord, instill in me kindness, the next fruit of the Spirit. I want to be kind. I want to be kind to employees. I want to be kind to neighbors. I want to be kind to those around me. I want to be kind to my spouse. I don't want to be unkind. I don't want to be mean to my spouse. So instill in me kindness. Also give me a heart that is good. A heart that is good. Goodness was the next fruit of the Spirit. Give me a heart that's good. And help me to seek good things. Help me to want good things. Help me to want right living. Help me to be faithful. That's the next fruit. Help me to be faithful to fulfill my commitments. Help me be faithful to my vows, my vow to my spouse, or my promises that I make. My yes be yes, no be no. Whatever promises I make, I want to be faithful. Promises to my kids or promises to other people, maybe at work, coworkers, etc. Help me to be faithful. Or Lord, I need to become more gentle, more meek, like Jesus. So give me that kind of meekness that I need to have. He was meek, and I need to be meek also. That doesn't mean weak. That means being very humble and sort of tying in with gentleness. And then, Lord, give me self-control, the desire and power to say no to the sins of the flesh and the various temptations that come into our lives. Give me self-control. Help me to say no to the things that my flesh longs for. It wants so much to be satisfied. And the problem is the flesh, the things it wants, it never really satisfies. It's here today and gone tomorrow. Momentary satisfaction. We want to desire God above all of this. So we also know it's God's will, not only that we walk in the fruit of the Spirit, we also know it's God's will that we grow in the knowledge of the Word, that we become more knowledgeable and more experiencing the Word of God, that we really take it into our hearts and say, Lord, just teach me, teach me. We know that it's his will that we speak words that edify others. If we're speaking words that are on the edge or words that are just putting people down in ways that are, this is time to confront sin, but we're not to put each other down in a way that sort of pushes them under our feet into the mud. And we're to speak words that edify, words that build up, words that help strengthen those who listen. It's God's will that we do that. So the words we speak as far as spouses, the words we speak as far as to our kids, let's speak words that are edifying, very edifying. And we know it's his will that we learn how to forgive. So if you're ever blindsided by somebody or they've disappointed you or hurt you or sinned against you in some way, guess what? It's his will that we learn how to forgive. To say, Lord, you see everything. You're the judge. I forgive this person. I release into your hands the pain. I release into your hands the sins that I've just sort of been the object of or whatever. And I release it all into your hands. And I pray, Father, that you would forgive, that you'd work and restore and work in a special way. So we know it's his will that we learn how to forgive. We also know it's his will that we demonstrate integrity, for example, on the job or in the home, in all our spheres of life, at church, in every way. We also know it's his will that we make wise decisions. So he wants us to make wise decisions, to ask him for wisdom and make good decisions in our lives. Sometimes we plow ahead going a certain direction, and he's just saying, hey, have a little patience, ask for wisdom, and at the right time, be willing to take action, action that needs to be taken, actions that will bring God glory. So furthermore, we know it's his will that his word go forth into the hearts of lost people. That's also his will for us, that we speak, our influence, our words, our actions are good for those who have yet to come to Christ, and they have an impact on them. So let's be people of prayer who pray according to his will, knowing that he hears us. It's like, well, what about the things where we don't really know for sure what his will is? We'll get to that in a minute. Because stake number two, so stake number one is confidence regarding God hearing. Stake number two, confidence regarding God answering. Verse 15, and if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. So if we're praying according to God's will, and we're convinced that he's hearing us, as we should be convinced, as we cry out, as we petition him, then no matter what we're asking, if it's according to his will, as long as it's consistent with his will, God answers us. He will answer. He does answer prayer. So we can walk with confidence that he hears us, and we can walk with confidence that he answers us. Examples of prayer in Scripture. In 1 Kings chapter 3, Solomon prayed for wisdom so he could lead the people well. And guess what? God gave him wisdom. Is that any surprise? In Daniel chapter 9, Daniel prayed for forgiveness, confessing the sins of the people, his own sins and the sins of the people. And God granted wonderful forgiveness. In Ephesians chapter 1, Paul prayed for wisdom and hope and power, spiritual growth for the Ephesians. And God no doubt continued his work among the early Ephesian church. Sometimes we don't know what to pray for. We don't really know what God's will is exactly. Like, should I take this job? Who am I going to marry? Are we to move or not move? A lot of decisions that have to be made. Or decisions as far as our daily lives, our schedules, etc. So we pray with persistence, but with an open hand and with flexibility. There's nothing in Scripture, per se, that says, you know, the car you're to buy is to be a blue car. It must be blue. If it's not blue, it's not God's will. And if it's blue, it's God's will. It's like, I haven't seen that passage yet. I sort of like silver. I like silver. But I haven't seen a passage on that yet. And some things, there's frankly room to make decisions. Well, what color do you like as far as your car? And so it's like, if I can choose this or that, I like this color better, so I'm going to choose that. Other times it's like, okay, I want red because I want to impress the girls. And it's like, well, that's a motive issue. And then there's an aspect of God's will regarding to that as far as color of the car. But if it's like, what's your preference? It's like, choose wisely and enjoy the process. God said to Adam and Eve in the garden, eat freely. And so I don't think they sweated over, should we eat next a pear or some grapes? I don't know what to do. I'm so anxious. What's your will? It's like, no, they were to eat freely. They just weren't to eat of the fruit specifically of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But they were to eat freely as far as in the garden as a whole. So there's some level of openness. So some would challenge that. When I go to the store, I always pray for God's will regarding everything, the peanut butter and everything. It's like, really? Interesting. I think we need to be open to whatever he has. If somehow the Peter Pan peanut butter has been poisoned because somehow it was made in a defective way, then maybe the Holy Spirit can give us promptings. That's true. But if it's normal peanut butter, and there's Peter Pan, and there's Skippy, and there's other kinds of peanut butter, this natural peanut butter is probably healthier peanut butter, etc. Then we just ask God for wisdom and make the best decision we can. We don't have to sweat it. We don't have to be full of anxiety and full of legalism that, oh, if I got the wrong peanut butter, I'm out of God's will. It's like there are much bigger issues going on in this world, like our character and like learning how to walk with God and learning how to bring him glory. So don't sweat things. There is some openness as far as some decisions we make. There's some choices we can make. We've been made in God's image, and that involves the ability to make decisions. And it's like, interesting thought that there's actually some freedom in certain areas. Now, Jesus prayed for the cup of suffering to be taken from him, but he said, not my will, but not my will. So sometimes it's like we pray and we just say, Lord, this is what I want. This is what I'm thinking. This is what I'm even either sensing. Or in Jesus' case, he, of course, didn't want to have the sins of the world placed upon him and having that separation. Somehow there was some kind of cosmic separation that took place between Father and Son as the Son of God took our sins upon himself, and the Father, in some ways, the back was turned. It's like, why, God, have you forsaken me? As Jesus quotes Scripture. He quotes from the Psalms. And that was the whole deal. That looks like what was happening, that he took our sins upon himself, and there was somehow a break, a mysterious break in fellowship right at that time because he was taking our sins upon himself. Somehow, and again, there could be some books written on that, but somehow there was something going on. But he said he prayed for the cup of suffering to be taken from him, but not my will be done, thy will, Lord. Paul prayed for the thorn in the flesh to be removed, and God said, no, my grace is sufficient for you. My grace, my enablement is sufficient for you. What's the thorn in the flesh? He called it a messenger of Satan. It was not a pleasant thing, whatever it was. Some say it was more physical. Some say it was more spiritual. But everyone says it was not a fun thing. So he said, please take this thorn away. And God said, no, not going to. My grace is sufficient for you. And then Paul reflected and he said, boy, based on all the insights that God gave me the privilege of having, that thorn helped keep me humble. And so there was a purpose. And sometimes when God says no or wait, there's a wonderful purpose that he has for us. We may not see it. We may shake our fists. We may have a temper tantrum. But ultimately, let's just trust God. If he said no or if he says wait, he knows what he's talking about. Maybe there's something we're not ready for. Maybe he needs to prepare us. Maybe it's what he wants to give us, but not the right timing. Wait for the right timing. Have patience. When I was getting to know Sue, and the whole process of getting to know her was wonderful, my constant prayers were as follows. And I pretty much made every mistake in the book as far as dating or whatever. You know, sometimes it's like, I think the Lord wants me to marry this person. And I didn't even know this person. And it's like, and if you somehow reveal that, the girl says, runs away as fast as possible. And finally I learned, let's enjoy the process. Lord, give me light for the next step. I don't always have to see the horizon. Help me to walk by faith, step by step. And I found that decision after decision boils down to that. The Lord teaching us faith, step by step. So, Lord, give me light for the next step was a constant prayer. And Lord, if it would please you to take a step forward, give me a peace about taking a step forward. If it's not your will or your timing, help me to stay where I am. But Lord, if it would please you, I sense a desire, I sense a blessing on this relationship. If you want me to take the next step, getting to know her better, then I pray that you would just continue to lead and continue to give me a peace and give her a peace. And I would pray along with that if this relationship would bring you the most glory. If this is the relationship that will bring you the most glory, cause it to gel. If for some reason it's not going to bring you the most glory, sour it up. Cause her parents to just hate me. And so it was funny. It takes all fear away because you meet the parents and it's like, okay, Lord, however you lead. And so if they hate me, I'll know it's your will. I'll thank you either way. And so not that a parent's opinion is necessarily God's will, but sometimes God does use parents to give us direction because they know us, they love us. Even unsaved parents can sometimes be very insightful as far as their sons and their daughters. And so as I was meeting her parents, it was like, it was already on the altar. It's like, Lord, it's just whatever. However you direct. It'd be wonderful if there was a sense of blessing on this thing. But if it's going to sour or something, that's fine with me. You know, I want your will. And it took all the burden away. I was very much at peace as I met them, and a lot of sort of confidence. And it was a beautiful time. And so they continued to pray, Lord, if this is going to please you, then I pray that you give me the next step and give me a peace about the next step. And it just, step after step, it led to marriage. And it was wonderful. It didn't actually take a long time, but that's sort of how it progressed. And so sometimes we explore as far as God's will. And we look to walk by faith. And we say, Lord, lead me. Again, sometimes the temptation is, and maybe it's out of impatience or maybe out of bad theology, the temptation is, I always want the horizon. I think God is leading me to do this. And I've heard of cases where someone meets someone and says, I know I'm going to marry that person. I've heard of cases. Now, a lot of cases I've heard of where they think that it doesn't work out. Other cases where it really does work out. So God works in mysterious ways. But sometimes or often, he leads us step by step. He leads us through the wilderness, step by step, toward the land of promise. And in the wilderness, we learn how to walk by faith. And so often he works in that way. So enjoy the adventure of discovering God's will. Be super flexible. Walk by faith. And when we don't know how to pray, you can always pray for wisdom. James chapter 1, if you need wisdom, ask him and he will give it. He'll give it freely. As long as you're not doubting, he'll give it to you freely. So you can always ask him for wisdom. Lord, I want to make a wise decision here. Give me wisdom. Give me wisdom. So that was stake number 2, confidence regarding God's answering. And then third stake, confidence regarding God restoring. Verse 16, if anyone sees his brother sinning a sin which does not lead to death, he will ask and he will give him life for those who commit sin not leading to death. So we're to pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ who are committing sins not leading to death. Probably a reference to sins of the flesh, things that we wrestle with. Each one of us humans has certain areas where the flesh somehow is tempted or potentially tempted. And so we wrestle with the sins of the flesh, the desires that sometimes get the best of us, desiring something that it's either not God's will or it's not the right timing or whatever, but it's just not pleasing to him. These sins are not good. Sin is never good, but they're not salvation issues. If someone's a genuine believer in Jesus Christ and they wrestle with some kind of habit or something else in their life, it's not a salvation issue. You can't point to someone and say, just because they have this habit in their life, you know, they smoke cigarettes all the time, or people pick on that one more so than others, it's so visible. And yet each one of us have different sins of the flesh that we may wrestle with. And so there's an admonition, an exhortation to pray for one another and pray that we walk strong and that we say no to the sins of the flesh. So in that case, we're to pray boldly for our brothers and sisters in Christ if they're wrestling with some kind of sin of the flesh, for example. Lord, help them say no. Forgive them. Strengthen them. Help them walk in the fruit of the Spirit. Give them self-control or whatever the aspect is that's needed as far as whatever the Holy Spirit's doing in a person's life. And the Lord will grant fresh life to those who are we're praying for. He'll grant wonderful, fresh life. Now, for sin leading to death, what shall we do in that case? What is this all about? The rest of verse 16, there is sin leading to death. I do not say that he should pray about that. Very intriguing passage. And it's like, people could probably write some books on this one. Probably some different perspectives on it. Sin that leads to death is probably, it probably boils down to straying from the faith. Those who stray from the faith, their profession of faith in Christ, they're rejecting the gospel. And maybe they were a vibrant part of the church. And yet somehow years later, 10 years later, they're not speaking well of Christ or of the church or of anything. as far as the faith. Whether they're totally backslidden and they're actually internally they were regenerated and they need to be totally woken up again, or whether they never really came to Christ and they're just showing their true colors. And you don't know, sometimes we don't know what's going on in people's hearts. So if a professing believer leaves the life of faith behind, they were professing Christ, they were saying they were believers, I'll follow you anywhere. And then later it's like, I don't think I'll follow you anywhere. It's like sad to see. We're not to pray for forgiveness. We can still pray for the person that God remove the blinders, that God allow the enemy possibly to beat the person up and bring this person to his or her senses. Whatever it takes to bring this person back to a place of a profession that really is genuine. But we're not to pray for forgiveness or restoration in their current state. That's my take on it as far as this verse. And again, there might be other takes on it. And there might be other insights there. But we're not to pray for forgiveness or restoration. Lord, forgive them. It's like, no, they're denying Christ. Don't forgive them for that. That's the only unforgivable sin. We're praying against God's will in some ways, or sort of bucking the system there. So we're not to pray for forgiveness or restoration in their current state. They're choosing to not follow Christ. They're turning their back on Christ. They're saying to everyone, I used to believe, but it didn't work for me. Their lives are heading toward death, and they're leading others toward death. There's no forgiveness for those who've rejected Christ. But there is an invitation to return to him. So of course we're to pray for either salvation or a total, that the blinders be removed in some way. Again, whether it's a backslidden believer or whether it's someone who really never came to Christ, they were just going through the motions. So confidence regarding God restoring. Verse 17, all unrighteousness is sin, and there is sin not leading to death. So every form of unrighteousness, wrong living, is sin in any way. But wrong living by a genuine believer does not lead to death. It doesn't lead to death. It doesn't lead to eternal separation from God. It fails to bring God glory. It's not God's will, but it does not rob him or her of salvation. The minute someone lights up a cigarette, that does not mean their salvation just went down the tubes. It's just not that simple. Or the minute we have a stray thought, that doesn't mean, oh, I just lost my salvation. It's like it doesn't work that way. We have an assurance and a confidence before the Lord. And sometimes the muddy feet we have from a very dirty world just has to be cleansed. That's what communion is all about. It has to be cleansed. We need fresh cleansing, regular cleansing. So in fact, the struggle itself can speak volumes to lost people. It's a very interesting thing as far as how God wastes nothing in our lives. Someone can say, those Christians, they mess up, just like I mess up, but they get back up again. Somehow they get back up again. So God can even use that. Not that sinning in any way is his will, but somehow as we humbly respond to our own sins and to the conviction of the Holy Spirit, that can get the attention of other people who are watching. Again, God wastes nothing. So even in our unrighteousness, we can lead others to a path of life somehow, in some way. Again, it doesn't make our sins a good thing, but God can use the restoration process, the getting up again process, to reach other people. Because they may have come from a background where there's no restoration. And they've done something that they shouldn't have done. There's no hope for them. And it's like, no, there's a lot of hope. We mentioned this at the wedding yesterday. The only unforgivable sin is to reject Christ one's entire life. There's no forgiveness available for someone who's rejected Christ one's entire life all the way up to death. So we don't want to see that happen in the life of anyone. Related passages, two passages to look at very quickly. One of my favorite passages, at night when I can't sleep, this is the passage I go back to again and again and again. I go to a couple, but this is the one I go to most. Rejoice in the Lord always. It's Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 to 7. Rejoice in the Lord always again. I will say it, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men, or evident to all men. The Lord is at hand, or the Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So we're to rejoice always. That's his command to us. We're to be gentle, meek. The Lord is near. We can be meek because the strongest one of the universe is right by our side. He is at hand. And we're to be anxious for nothing. We don't have to be anxious or nervous. But in everything, every care of life, by prayer and supplication, we ask God for things. We commune with him in prayer. Everything, with thanksgiving, we're to make our requests known before God in everything. And what takes place then because of that or from that? The peace of God. It transcends all understanding. It's going to guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Wonderful promise. So again, I can't sleep well. I hardly even make it through this whole passage when I'm like mulling it over in my mind. I've always memorized it in other translations, so I get a little tripped up as far as the different translations. But I'll mull it over in the translation I originally learned it in. And I hardly make it to the end. I fall asleep because if the forces of darkness are trying to bug you, they don't want you quoting scripture. They'll let you go to sleep. So you win either way. You either quote scripture and it's like, oh, the promises of God. Or you go to sleep because he lets you alone. And so it's like either way you win. So it's just a related passage as far as in everything, every concern of life, let's bring before him. And then 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 to 18, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. It's God's will. So again, we're to rejoice always. It's a command to rejoice, imperative. And we're to pray without ceasing, the sense of ongoing prayer. Just as we're in a meeting, as we're interacting with someone, there's an ongoing channel of communication. Lord, I'm just, give me wisdom for the next step. Give me wisdom for the words I'm about to speak. And lead me. It's not necessarily on our knees. It could be we're walking with someone. We're one side of a desk, other side of a desk. But we're to have a constant channel open before the Lord. If there's anything blocking our channel of communication, let's get rid of it. We shouldn't have anything that blocks that sort of water hose from bringing refreshment to a world that needs refreshment. So pray without ceasing in everything. Give thanks, and that's God's will for you. Often that's more important than what color of the car or what kind of peanut butter I buy. It's more important learning how to pray without ceasing and learning how to be thankful in all things. So we looked at the three stakes in the ground regarding prayer. Confidence regarding God hearing, confidence regarding God answering, and confidence regarding God restoring. Now for personal application. Regarding confidence that God hears, are you purposing to seek God's will? Are you purposing to seek it out? Explore it. Are you praying in accordance with God's will as much as you can, as much as possible? Are you confident that he hears you? I know he hears me. I know he's listening. I know he's hearing. Then regarding confidence that God answers, are you remaining flexible before God as you await his answer? It's not always the answer we'd like, but are you waiting for him? Are you willing to accept no or wait for an answer? Some people, they have a hard time accepting no or wait. They have a temper tantrum, a spiritual temper tantrum. It's not a pretty sight, not a pretty sight. In those areas where you know it's his will, are you trusting in God to answer? Lord, I'm praying for a greater desire for your word. I'm praying for the evidence of your fruit, of the fruit of your Holy Spirit. Cultivate. I want to cultivate. I want to be part of that. I want you to develop more of that in my life. Then regarding confidence that God restores, are you praying for other believers who are stumbling? Maybe they're stumbling in a certain way, and they need our prayers, our support. Are you praying with confidence that God will restore, will bring restoration? And for those who are now rejecting Christ, and maybe at one time we called him brother, called him sister, are you praying not for forgiveness, but for God to open up that person's eyes, humble that person, open up their eyes, bring them to a point of repentance because they need it. Then lastly, are you praying in everything, lifting up your needs, your concerns, and everything, all the areas of life? It's okay when you go through the grocery store to say, Lord, give me wisdom. What's on sale? What's the best stewardship of my finances? What flavor does my family like? You know, just balancing all that, but enjoy the process instead of a legalistic kind of perspective where shopping become, all the decisions are like, I can't make a decision because I don't know what God's will is. Get the Skippy. So. Yeah. So, are you praying in everything, lifting up our needs and concerns? Are you praying with thanksgiving? And are you praying without ceasing? Without ceasing. And lastly, is there anything in your hose that's messing up the water from flowing? It's like, Lord, take it out. Take it out. Father, I thank you for this time in your word, and I pray, Father, that you give us a fresh zeal to pray. Lord, help us to put these things into motion, to pray with thanksgiving, to pray without ceasing. Lord, casting our cares upon you, and Lord, lifting up the things that do concern us. And I pray, Father, that we'd lift up all of these things. And Lord, I thank you that you give us wisdom, that you lead us. I thank you for your word that leads us in so many ways, your Holy Spirit, our prayer lives. Lord, I thank you for your leading, and help us to explore and really enjoy the whole exploration process and areas where it's not clear as far as what your will is for sure. But help us make wise decisions. Help us to make decisions that are in accordance with the fruit of the Spirit. Help us make decisions that are good stewardship of our finances. Help us make decisions that are pleasing to you. And so I pray, Father, that you would just give us wisdom for all of this. We thank you, Lord, for this time. We pray that you be glorified in our lives. And for anyone who has yet to come to a place of faith in you, I pray that they would desire this kind of relationship where they can interact with you, they can walk with you, they can receive wisdom from you. They can know your will and explore your will in areas where they're not sure. And Lord, most of all, that they can know that they're forgiven. Lord, if they receive your Son, the Lord Jesus, as Savior, who died on the cross for us, for every person who's wrestling with this whole issue, you died on the cross. You're our Savior and you're our Lord. Lord, you're the one in charge. So I pray for anyone who's wrestling with all of this, that they would receive you, that they would receive you. And Lord, that they would learn to walk in close fellowship with you, learning how to pray with confidence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.